So we are a newly planted church in the Philippines. We call our city Coronadal City. It's different from what you know, right? The corona virus, right? That's spreading around. No, it sounds the same, but corona, for them, it's virus. But for us, it's a doll. Coronadal. That's cute, right? Coronadal City. We are 102nd church. So 102 church that got planted in Victory Provincial Churches. So when I say provincial, it's not included Manila. So, and now work, you know, is going on. So we are a 5-month-old church, but we are averaging to 270 in attendance. And we see, you know, it's growing so fast. Why? Because people can't wait to be discipled. People can't wait, you know, to receive, you know, the blessing that comes from God and to know who they are in the Lord. And people can't wait to be part of what God is doing in that city. Guys, we are so excited to see how God will turn this city, you know, into something that He wants it to be. We love, you know, before we went to church planting, we were a missionary. I was serving Every Nation Grace in Thailand for 9 years. And yeah, I was telling Pastor Kawi, I didn't get burned out. Even thinking about it, not even a hint of thinking, I'm burning out in the ministry. It was a joy serving with you, Pastor Kawi. He's such a great man. You got to know him, okay? Well, you guys are honored as well to have Pastor John Lim and Miok. I was, when Miok was sharing here on stage about giving, I was telling Pastor Jonathan, wow, she's a preacher. And when she was telling about how she invested in the kingdom of God, at the age of 20, she started giving her tithes, you know, to the Lord. And I told Pastor Jonathan, see, the return of investment is you. So ladies, single ladies, if you want, you know, to have a good return, invest in the kingdom of God. Not just that, use, not just through finances, but also, you know, in your skills, in your giftings, give it to the Lord. How I found my beautiful wife was in the church. I saw her so busy serving in the church, and I pursued her because I want someone who is busy for the Lord. And I ended up marrying her and enjoy serving God with her. I couldn't go wrong with her, right? Because my heart is to serve God. So for young men who are here, go to church every Sunday. Look around. Watch those women serving. You know, if you think women out there is hot, here is hotter. See, the anointing, right, is being passed on. Whatever is in your mind, it's, you know, it's a heavenly version of what you think of hot is, okay? It's still early in the morning, but I believe, you know, God has given us a mind, you know, of Christ. Amen? So, right, to give you like a little, you know, report of data, we have a short a data that we can show you. This is what we call the amazing grace of God. We are in this series called Amazing Grace of God, right? Yes, people worshiping on a Sunday, it's always filled. Yes, during the church launching, we have a representative from Penang, Malaysia, Uncle Edwin and Auntie Sue. Made to be there. Pastor Jonathan couldn't. He was just so busy. So I said, I will just send messengers, right, to represent Penang. See, guys, what you are doing is not just impacting the city here, but you are impacting the world. There's so many lives out there who are touched by your generosity. Lives transformed because you are ready to bless the nations. Especially Coronadal City. So we want to see you there. So yeah, thank you. So this is our discipleship metrics, we call it. in 5 months of operation. But before that, there was already something happening. But yes, we have like victory groups or small groups, 45, or life group, you call it, that happens on a weekly basis. And then we have, you know, a number of victory group leaders, 37 victory group or small group leaders. So that's, I'm not into that stuff, you know. But what I want to see is that these people will come serving the Lord. I hope that it's not just in number, but it also, you know, in their life, in their lifestyle. So more than that, we're talking about amazing grace. And our topic today is called enriching grace. Everybody say enriching grace. I would like to read the meaning. What does it mean when you say enrich? To enrich means what? To improve or enhance the quality or value of something. So like when you want to enrich your beauty, right? I know God has created you beautiful. But women, when they want to enrich their beauty, what do? They get some cream, right? Put some cream every night before they go to bed. That's enriching. Or what do? People are healthy. Why? God has given us you know, good health. But what do? Do you still exercise and you watch what you eat? That's enriching grace, right? You are enhancing what you have right now. So more than just physical, but what you have, right? The property, the riches, the possessions that you have, God's is in the position of enriching that. So are you excited for that?
Yes.
So how will you be able to do that? We will learn, okay, from His Word. And this is what is the picture of enriching to me. You thought that you just have this enough, but enriching is going to fill you up even more. It's going to fill you up to the point that you are already overflowing, that you can't stop, but, you know, share it with others. Share it to others that you can stop and people, you know, can really feel it coming, overflowing in and through your life. That is enriching. Let me read a text for today. It's found in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 12. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that this morning we are here ready to receive your word. Thank you that we will be enriched, not just in understanding, not just in our giving, but also, Lord God, in serving people, Lord God. So thank you that your word will really minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I will give you a background. You know, Corinthians was written by Paul, right? It's a letter that was written by Paul to Corinthians. But the text from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, which we are going to study about, they are focusing on finances. Talks about money, in short. So Paul, actually, during this time, was devoting his time organizing a collection or a fundraising. For who? For the people back home. Because people back in Jerusalem who are Christians are getting poorer. What? They're having a hard time financially. Why? Because, you know, when Roman Empire took you know, authority, they would, you know, get a lot of money from people. They pay taxes, right? So Christians were paying taxes to the Romans. And aside from that, they're also paying taxes to the Jews. So what can you do, right? How can you be rich? How can you, how will you be able to have enough when you're paying, you know, taxes for both? So they went poor. And aside from that, because they were ostracized, because it was already like Romans, right? An authority. So they were being persecuted. So economically, they were going down because, you know, they were not promoted or whatever, or, you know, they, you know, people will talk about, you know, their business, no, is not good. So there's no advertisement for them. So that's why Paul had a burden to really help these Christians who are, you know, who are in Jerusalem. And aside from that, when Christians coming from other places to Jerusalem, these Christians who went poor, they went poor not just because of paying taxes or what, but because they are receiving also visitors and they would take them to eat. Right? Like what you do here in Penang. But I don't know why. You send us to expensive restaurant. You allow us to eat delicious food. You pay a lot for us here. But I don't think you guys, you know, go in lack. I still see God just overflowing in this place. Right? Because the more you give, right, the more you receive actually. So Paul was in, you know, his heart is still to help these people. Before, I didn't know the importance of giving. I thought to myself when I was young and didn't know anything yet, I thought I just have to work and save money for myself, you know. I didn't even think of giving to others or, you know, looking others' need and being a blessing to their needs as well. I didn't think about that, not until I was discipled. Not until I learned from this guy the importance of giving. Show the picture. That is Pastor Kawi. This is the guy who taught me how to give. Because in the first place, he is so generous. Not just giving, you know, his time to me or helping my family in Bangkok, but also, you know, lavishing me with gifts after gifts. So every day to me is like a birthday party when I'm with him. Oh no, he's in trouble. So there was one time we were like, I was raising support, right? Because I was on MPD. So as a missionary, you have to look for partners to support. So there was one point that I was about to give up because I cannot reach the goal that was given to me. So you have to reach the goal so that it's enough for you to pay for your rent, pay food for your family and stuff like that, and support this children education. So I told him, please adjust my goal so that I can help you serve right away. You know what he told me? Of course, as a senior pastor, right? He's just working alone, so he needs a staff or he needs somebody to help him. So in his thinking, if he would adjust it, I can help him right away. But, you know, our needs will not be met, right? Because that means lower income. So he didn't say anything or what. So we were in a tuk-tuk that time in Thailand. So I told him, Pastor, please lower my goal so that I can help you serve. You know, he was not so selfish because he didn't tell me, come on, yes, let's do that. Let's adjust it. But you know what he told me? He said, Tammy, I want you to experience abundance. Who is this guy who wants abundance for me? Where in fact, I only want to live. You know, just, I'm okay where I'm at. That's what a leader can do. That's what your pastor can do. You thought you're okay right there, but no, there's something more that you can give. There's something more that you can receive. Just don't settle where you are at this time. Because we are talking about enriching, right? Because now you are in the position of now enriching. Whatever you have right now in your hand maybe, whatever you have in your bank maybe, whatever you have in your mind maybe, or your knowledge, or whatever giftings you have right now maybe, God's gonna grow it even more. Because God wants you what? To be enriched, to be abundant, so that in all things at all times, you will be ready, right? To do the good works that God has assigned for you to do. So, but what we go through now is in the Christian world is so different. Why? Because people now are, you know, it's they don't give. They hesitate. They doubt. Why do you think? Because one thing for sure that I know is that they are only limited in their knowledge of who God is. You can only give, right? Depending on what you know who God is. Or depending on the one you know who is providing for you. That's why we are limited sometimes in our giving. But we experience giving aside from this. This is another picture that I want to show you. This church is overflowing in giving. 2017. My wife was, you know, diagnosed with a possible cancer. And since we are, you know, we couldn't afford, you know, to spend for a surgery or what. But you know what? We just praying to God. And we got a call from Penang. We heard about it. Tell us what's going on. So we shared. And then Penang said, come over here. We'll help you guys. So my wife and I flew from Thailand to here. And then, guys, Uncle and Auntie Edwin, such a generous people they are. Guys, welcome us to their place and allowed us to stay and then help us with my wife. The church gave, the church prayed before the operation. Church come together. They prayed for my wife. And I was like, wow, God, this is your generosity that I, you know, experience live. No, it's not just about I hear that Christians are giver, but this is now what we are experiencing. So because of that, church, and because of you guys, you know, extending help to those who are in need, God is growing this church. Before, it was just one service. Now there are multiple services now. And guys, you are expanding, not just here, but all around the world. So thank you so much, Pastor Jonathan and family, Uncle Edwin, Auntie Sue, thank you. And the church, thank you so much for allowing us to experience the enriching grace of God to us. Yes. 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. It is easy to understand, right? It's not a hard mathematics. You give little, you will receive little. You give much, you will receive much. But what stops us from really giving much or even more, right? Because of our limited thinking of who God is. That's why we need to know who God is in our lives. That God is not just what? A healer. That not God is not just a provider. God is not just a forgiver. God is not just what? A miracle worker. He's more than that. Right? He is a deliverer. He is a protector. What else? He is our comfort. He is our joy. Our source of peace. Our strength. He is. Now when you come to know the Lord, then you are not limited to that. Then you begin to worship who He is. And allow Him to get into your mind. That God is, that this is not what just God want me to do. Right? To give this much. No. The Bible will give us a standard. But God can go beyond that. And that is enriching grace. Amen? Amen. So don't just limit yourself to here. Okay? But sometimes we give, yeah, we understand the principle. Yes, this is, if I give more, yep, that's head knowledge, right? But you know what? The next verse would tell you to give more. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, when you think in your mind, you give and you will have the return, whatever. But you know what? You can only give that much. But when your heart dictates, now this is now a game changer, right? When your heart dictates, mind cannot comprehend. To the point that you're giving it all. To the point that I don't care if I lose anything. As long as you are provided, I'm fine. And that's the kind of giving that God has shown to us. Did God withhold something for himself? No. He gave it all. How much did he give? A portion? No. God is just asking us a portion. But what he gave to us is all. Now tell me. You can only give that much? No. You can even give it all away. Are you ready to give it away? Are you ready? Yes, right? Thank you, Pastor Jonathan. Watch your tithes later. Next service, it's gonna increase. It's gonna, you know, more than just double, triple. And you will just be amazed. Because God wants us to give based in the heart. Because God loves a cheerful giver. That's why when you give, right? It's always from the heart. That's what, this is where you feel people. This is where the right thing, you know, is happening. So don't let your mind think about, oh, my heart is deceiving me. No. If it is true giving, your heart will never deceive you. God will always give more than what you can think of. That is enriching, right? Very enriching. Now, there are things we say, you know, there's a, in a world, we learn, you know, so many principles about giving. There is one that says, got to give. What is that? Got to give and give to get. When you say got to give, that means that you feel like you're obligated to give. That's worldly. Right? Here, we are not obligating you to give. Right? But we are allowing you to participate. Why? Because this is an act of worship. Giving itself is a worship to God. That's why most givers, you know, when they cannot just sing, you know, when they cannot sing during worship, they don't have that voice, express it through giving. Sometimes they'll say, oh, will you please sing with us? Yeah. No. Don't worry. I'll just support you. What do you need? You need a speaker? You need a microphone? See? That's an act of worship. I would love to see people doing that. Giving is a worship. So, there's so many things that I can, you know, tell you. So, got to give and give to get. What is give to get? When you say give to get, you give because you're expecting something in return. Right? You invest and then you get something back. That is worldly, right? You're expecting. You do it because you're expecting something to it. I hope we are not in that position. That we give because, later you will, you know, give it back to me. No. When you give, right? The Bible says, when your left hand gives, don't let your right hand know about it. Amen? So, it's the Lord. So, there's another way of giving. What else? Get to give. When you say get to give, now this is of God. When you say get to give, you are excited to give. Right? I'm going to get a give right now. I'm ready. You know, you're getting ready to give right now. And why are you always excited to give? Because you have the grace to give. Grace to give, meaning it is what? Coming from, not from you, but it's coming from the Lord. Because what you can give, more than what you can, that's what we call grace. Amen? Grace, we don't work on it. Right? We don't perform. We don't need to perform. Grace is simply given to us. They define grace as what? An unmerited favor. Right? We don't deserve it. Just to give you an illustration of grace, I think you've heard this before. So this is how you define grace. So you have justice, you have mercy, and you have grace, right? So like when you're driving a car and you violated a certain law or rule, then a police stop you. Police come to you. Sir, you violated something. Then you have to pay for this. So you pay, you know, the right, you know, payment, like what you are, what you deserve. That's justice, right? But mercy will say, the police will come to you and say, okay, sir, yeah, you made a mistake, but I forgive you today. That's mercy. But grace, this is how grace works. But sir, yes, I am forgiving you and you can go, but wait, I give you 500 ringgit for your fuel. That's what you call grace. Amen? That's grace in itself. So, grace to give. 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So guys, remember that when you give, it is the grace of God that is abounding in you. That you can't help but share it with others. You can't help, you cannot keep it to yourself, but you give it, right? You help those who are in need. And it is not because of your will to do it, but it's the grace of God that's in you, that is abounding in you, that will enable you to do it. It is hard, but tell you honestly, when you just ask grace from the Lord in that area of giving, God's going to help you, enable you, to inspire you, to encourage you to give. And not just that, to give in abundance. So that's why people in the church are being blessed. Why? Because God's going to use you to bless others out there. Because we are God's hand and feet. Right? So this is not where your giving supposed to be. What is that? To be seen. You know. Yes, it's normal for us to give because we're Christians. But it should be seen more outside. Those people out there who are far from the Lord, go find them where they are. Then take them to a coffee shop. Hey, bro, can we have time with you? Let's go Starbucks together. It's my treat. Don't worry. Then you start, you know, engaging, building relationship with that guy. Because the end point is for you to be able to bring that grace that you have received from God, the grace of salvation, to this person. Now that is why God is enriching His people in this church, in Penang. Because Penang is always ready to go out there and impact lives through giving. So God's going to enrich you more because God has already prepared, you know, good works for you to do. Amen? So guys, be excited. Why? Because you are graced to give. So when you give, it is a reminding, Paul is just reminding us that we don't have to doubt God. Why? Because when we give, we already know that it's God that's going to give us, right? It's as if we're lending something to God. So when you lend something to God, you know how much He can give it back? More than what you can imagine. Because you can never outgive God, actually. God's going to overflow you with that, with everything. So I would like to go back to that picture of Penang, Malaysia in the beginning. I'll show you. Ah, that one. That's not in Penang, though. Looking at the creation, right? You see the abundance displayed, the abundance of God. So when you come to think about that, Lord, I don't deserve to enjoy this creation. So with that, you have in mind, you know, oh God, I know I'm ready. Your abounding grace is in me right now. I'm excited to go out there and give. Next picture. This is a beautiful picture taken. Where is this? Penang, Malaysia. Who took this picture? Auntie Sue. The giver. Right? That's funny. So that's what she was showing. I was looking at it. That's the beauty she captured. Guys, I can't imagine sitting by the pool there, gazing at that, you know, beautiful scenery and just thanking God. Indescribable, with that music, right, in the background. Uncontainable. You place the stars in the skies and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable. Awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. And then dive into the pool. That's the abundance of God. That you are willing to let go and dive into His grace. Because God's gonna overflow His grace in you. That all you can do is not just to float, but to sink underneath. Christ. Now is there anything that withholds you giving or stops you from giving? No, right? This is, we can continue. The giver, right? Why? When you give, you all know that, you know that it's God's going to give you back. Philippians 4:19. What does it say? And my God shall supply all my needs according to His what? Riches. In glory through Christ Jesus. So don't hesitate. Give. Why? Because you know that it's the giver that's going to supply all your needs. When the giver supply all your needs, you will never go in lack. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. Shall not want. I lack nothing. When you have God in you, you are the richest man in the world. You are the happiest man in the world. You are the most fulfilled man in the world. You are the most successful man in the world when you have God in you. When you have God as your provider, as your supplier, as your giver. Amen? And you can go out there and walk head high. I don't care what people will say. I know. I'm a rich in God. I know He calls me His own. I know that He sees me indescribable. I know He sees me uncontainable. That's why I'm overflowing. That I can just stop being a blessing right here, but being out there as well. You're gonna overflow. That's what God is, you know, telling us all. So when you understand who your supplier is, 2 Corinthians 9:10, it says, He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Who supplies the seed? God. We are a willing sower. When you sow, it's God that will supply the seed. I would like to show this picture. How God supplies for me and for my friends. I was in school last 2018 for church planting. So that's Umesh from Sri Lanka. I don't know why. After the class, normally students would just go back to their apartments and rest because whole day of class is too much. Yeah, when you go to school, you will be loaded, right? I know Darren can relate with me that after school, I'm already good. I just need to rest. But that time, God gave me a nudge. Hey, bro, I want you to bless this guy, Umesh. He's from Sri Lanka, our missionary. So, okay, Lord, okay, you want me to bless? Okay, I have this much. You know, I want to go home. I was thinking of buying food or whatever to surprise my kids who are waiting for me. But God is telling me to give. Okay, Lord, I'm going to give this this thing. So what I did was I waited for him. And then when he was done, you know, with the thing, I went into the room because I was speaking. I was seeing if he's okay to approach now. So he was there. He's done. So I went back inside the room. And I said, hey, bro, can I talk to you? He said, yeah, what do you want? Hey, God wants to bless you with this. I said, hey, Pastor, tell me what is this? Yeah, it's money. Take it. That's God's given gift for you. And then I left and said, oh, Pastor Temi, thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right. Yeah. You're welcome. So I left. When I was opening the door to go out of the room, my classmate Caleb, an American, was waiting for me. I said, wait, I thought you have left already. No, I was looking for you, he was telling me. Why? What's wrong? I said, Temi, come here. Why, what's that? And then he took out his wallet. Bro, I don't know why. I don't have money anymore, but God is telling me to give it to you. Are you sure with that? It's from God? I said, yeah, sure. Take it. Okay, thank you, bro. I just gave, bro. I just gave, and now I'm receiving. And you know what happens? I went back home. I was so excited to tell my wife, Mama, get dressed up. I'm going to take you to a dinner. Let's eat. So she was so excited. Why? What happened? Where did you get the money? Someone blessed us more than what we gave. Guys. So I took my family to a dinner. And then after that, that night itself, Caleb called me. Bro said, yes, Caleb, what's up? Well, thank you, by the way. We used the money. He said, oh, it's all right. By the way, I want to tell you good news. What is that, Caleb? He said, hey, bro, you won't believe this. What's that? You know what? Somebody from America deposited, you know, in my bank account here in the Philippines. And you will just be amazed how much. And he doesn't know. And I don't know the person. Really, Caleb? And I was thinking about God. All right, God. Wow. This is a real show. This is a real show. This is a testimony of guys ready when you're ready to give. You know what? Everyone's going to give. It starts with us. Christians. It starts with us. Disciples of Christ. Now what are we going to do? We got to go out there because they're out there, people don't give. It's hard to give because they think only for themselves. And that's very worldly, right? Because they're afraid and their trust, they put it in their banks or their savings. Where our trust, we put it in our God, right? Because he's the one going to supply seeds for us to sow to others. And when he sees us ready to sow, he will give us more. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. We will never go in lack. So this is a great testimony of, you know, how it is. Out there, it's so quiet. You know, in the lake, when you go to the lake and it's very quiet, still water, you throw a rock. Once you throw a rock, you know, there's a current that creates. And not just that, it creates a ripple effect. Pop, 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 until it reaches the bank. So once you start doing that, it's going to reach others as well. Up to the last person. The ripple effect of giving. And that's what God, and that's what enriching grace is all about. So don't try going out there and throw rocks, right? Later you try it. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, you can apply that. So 2 Corinthians 9:11, it says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, so that through us, God will produce what? Thanksgiving to God. Again, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Now, when you experience generosity, your heart will just overflow in thanking God. In thanking God. And the more you thank God, the more He's going to open the doors, you know, of blessings. And He will always be ready to pour out His blessing to you because you are grateful. Giving creates a grateful heart. Giving creates gratitude towards God. It's all because of what you have done in me. Lord, thank you. And that's why Paul is so concerned about helping those poor, because he himself received, you know, the love of God in a magnificent way. He couldn't believe that God would transform him into a person, you know, that cares for others. Where in the past he was Saul, he was persecuting Christians. But now, because he experienced the grace of God in his life, now he's telling himself, who am I not to give? He was a missionary. He was racing for himself. But his heart is to still think about the others. Don't just think you are in a position of receiving. Because more than just that, you are in a position of giving. Because you know that your God will be able to provide for you amazingly, abundantly. And not just what you have received from the Lord that you can enjoy, but also giving the testimony of telling people. That's why our experience of giving to others, it's a testimony. You're blessing us, helping my wife with the surgery and saving her life from that, you know, scary sickness. You know what? Your generosity healed my wife. It's been 3 years, 2 months ago before we flew here. Her third checkup, she is perfectly fine. Praise God for that. And now my wife is in a position of just going around the world, going and telling people. I don't get tired listening to that. My wife would go, is it okay to share this? Go, share that. It's not your story. It is His story given to you. So proclaim unto the world that God saves you, that God delivers you, that God brought you out from darkness into light, that God has given you freedom from the bondage of sins, that God has given you the heart to be generous to others. Be proud of that and go impact the world for His glory alone. And don't be limited with what you know about giving, but be motivated by what your heart tells. How will you give to others? Let us all rise. Wow, amazing. Hebrews 6:10, this is what the Word of God says. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints, in serving others, as you still do. God sees your heart of generosity. God sees your acts of giving. And He will not overlook that. In fact, He's going to increase it even more. He's going to double it even more. Because God's going to use you guys. God's going to use each one of us in this room to impact lives out there through our enriched giving. May not just be in money, but also in words, in prayer, and in the service. Let us pray. Father, thank you, God, that you are our greatest giver. We worship you. We thank you that you are not limited. And we cannot even fathom who you are and not even measure your grace. Thank you, Father, that when we are limited to give, there you remind us how much you have given to us. You have not just given a portion, but you have given all. Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that through that life that was sacrificed on the cross for our salvation, for our freedom, for us to experience real love, real care. Lord, we can just begin to see ourselves giving back to you, giving to others, to the community where we are at. So I call forth right now abundance to rest in this place, to overflow in this place, so it can impact the community. Father, increase your people in giving and let them see and know that God bless a cheerful giver. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name.